The following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur in real time.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to FPC Radio Live. It's September the 2nd. We are officially 1 week. 1 week, folks. Away from the kickoff of the NFL season. That's right, the Buccaneers and the Cowboys are set to kick it off on the traditional opening night, Thursday night game, and that's 1 week from tonight. So we are almost there. The preseason is over. Rosters are already set. Well, not set officially, but teams have cut down to 53 men, and we are here to talk about it. And by we, I mean Mr. John Sapicetti. John, how you doing today? How was your weekend? How was the beginning of your week?
Pretty good, pretty good. Yeah, watched all the cutdowns taking place in the NFL. Mm. And of course, the big news out of Foxborough about what the Patriots did by cutting Cam Newton and going with Mac Jones as their starting quarterback, which I don't find as surprising as other people because, you know, we kind of know what Bill Belichick has done over the years, right? He surprised us many times, whether it be Laura Malloy or Richard Seymour or Logan Mankins, right at the end of training camp, either cutting or trading them. So, I wasn't shocked, a little surprised, but not shocked. But overall, pretty good. We're getting ready for football, Ian. A week from tonight, your man is going to be able to see his seventh banner go up and defend his Super Bowl championship not too far from where you are.
That's very true. And, you know, we'll get to – and I'm on the same – kind of the same page. In hindsight, 2020 is always, you know how that goes when it comes to Cam Newton and everything like that. Like, I mean, I think – now that it's happened, it's like, yeah, that seems like the more obvious solution. But before we get to that, though, the last time we got on here, I believe it was the last time we got on here, we were talking about the NFL Top 100. And I'll tell you, I've every time we've talked about it, I've always, you know, made a mention of how I feel like it's a silly exercise that we just kind of laugh at the end of the day. I mean, again, the moment Tim Tebow was listed as one of the top 100 players on this list 10 years ago, I knew this was just kind of a, you know, it's a silly exercise that, you know, just gets people talking. And look, here we are talking about it now, but good God, I mean, Tom Brady at number 7, like, what are we doing here, folks? Like, see, to me, the problem, John, it doesn't follow logic, these lists. And that's fine. It's players that, look, players aren't always the best judgment because they're so solely focused on what they and their team are doing that, you know, maybe they don't see all of this. But Patrick Mahomes was ranked number 4 last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is a just me being, you know, my opinion, but I don't even think he was the best quarterback last year. So how does it logically make sense for him to now be the best, move up 4 spots to be the best player after not even being the best quarterback? It's just an example of how silly this exercise is. And then again, having Tom Brady outside of the top 7 is kind of wild. I would have put Brady and Rodgers as the top 2 quarterbacks. Again, that's just how I feel it is. I mean, I feel like they're both better than Patrick Mahomes right now. But, hey, it is what it is. I don't know if you're shocked by it. I was kind of shocked because, again, I thought maybe the players would come to – or this list would make some sense towards the end. But at the end of the day, I shouldn't have been surprised that the outcome was pretty inconsistent.
So Mahomes in his Super Bowl-winning year was ranked 4th. And in the season where he didn't win the Super Bowl and played poorly in the Super Bowl, he moved up to number 1. I think he was better in 19 than he was in 20. Mm-hmm. Now he missed a game or two because of the knee situation, which we thought was going to end his season. And the Chiefs were able to still kind of plow through. They lost to Green Bay, beat Minnesota, ended up being the 2 seed, and went on to win the Super Bowl. I think you're splitting hairs whether you think he was better in 19 or 20. He was better in 18 than he was in either year. I mean, his first year as a starter. May have been the greatest first year as a starter we've ever seen. Statistically, I know Brady's first year, they won the Super Bowl, and you know, that's more important than anything. But, yeah, it's kind of weird to go from 4 to 1 when you really didn't play all that much better, and you're ahead of a guy obviously Tom Brady, who beat him in the Super Bowl, but also Aaron Rodgers, who had maybe the greatest statistical season we've ever seen. He just won MVP. I mean, 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, passer rating north of 120. I mean, there's only been 2 quarterbacks in the history of football to have a passer rating north of 120. And I know that, you know, numbers can lead you in whichever direction you want. And both times it was Aaron Rodgers, 2011 and last year. So, yeah, I could see where they come with that. But this is all done by the players. How seriously do they take this? Like, are they just looking at it and go, yeah, I guess Mahomes is the best guy. Let's, you know, check him as number one and Aaron Donald number two. And then you go from there and fill out your top list. I don't even know how it's compiled. Yeah. Does every player put a top 10? And then it's just, you know, you get 10 points for first, 9 for second, or whatever. I don't even know what the mechanism is to get to this. So, yeah, it's something to talk about, right? And I think Brady should have been much higher than number 7. I mean, the guy threw 40 touchdowns in the regular season and 10 more in the postseason. So, I don't know. That's pretty good.
Well, and that's why, again, I sit here and I laugh at it, but at the end of the day, I think this is what's going to be my demise, is I'm just going to, this is going to eat me inside, just, not just this, obviously, I'm saying, like, just this overall, just way that we cover this sport and these quarterbacks in particular, the, you know, the absolute unabashed, like, just falling head over heels for Patrick Mahomes, and I think it's unfortunate because I think he's a good kid.
Oh yeah, yeah, love him.
And you know, I think he's certainly very likable. But the problem is, though, and this is just the nature of, you know, how we view sports now is the media, not just fans. I mean, the media, the professional media, is just as guilty of this as you know, Joe Schmo fan from Kansas City. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I can't necessarily fault fans for getting excited, and I certainly can't fault them too much for taking some of the approach and opinions of some of the nut jobs on TV, because, well, that's what they're exposed to, and that's what they see. But, I mean, we're getting to the point now where, and I do see, and I'll say this, though, I do see some pushback now. There is some more pushback. Like, I think someone, the NFL Network account or something, or Bleacher Report or whatever, posted the video from second preseason game, you know, Patrick Mahomes throwing a sidearm. I mean, it was as routine of a short completion as you could possibly get. But you get the googly eyes and the Patrick Mahomes in midseason form. And I wish I remembered the account that did it. But they got ripped apart in the comments. Which, that's something that I do kind of feel like gives me some faith that maybe humanity and us as a NFL fan base will you know, get out of this drunken stupor that is the 2018 season from Patrick Mahomes, because really that's what it was. You know, his 2018 season has, you know, given him this long leash of just this, just unequivocally the best player in the league. And that's what it is. And that's how people view it. And unfortunately for him, or unfortunately for the people that have that view, I think it's wrong. And by saying, I think, I'm saying, I know it's wrong, John. I'm confident, John, it's wrong. But anyways, I'm rambling a little bit here. So
I think we
help
saw
me out back
a little
from
bit.
The ledge.
I think in a sense it's the shiny new toy, right? So we saw Mahomes in 2018. He's exciting to watch. I did find it kind of comical last year when, you know, Rodgers was asked about Mahomes, and they're friends. I mean, they do the commercials together, and I'm sure Mahomes' favorite quarterback growing up was probably Aaron Rodgers. It probably wasn't Tom Brady. I mean, if you poll, you know, 10 and 12 and 14 year old kids, they love Patrick Mahomes, not Tom Brady. It's a different dynamic.
Of course, absolutely.
Which is understandable. But I think Rodgers last year, when he was asked about some throw that Mahomes made in a game or in practice, he goes, yeah, we've never made that throw before, myself or Matt Stafford. And he threw out like a bunch of guys that make that throw routinely as well. I mean, heck, I watched Hard Knocks and saw Ben DiNucci make that play, and he's now on the practice squad of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to compare Mahomes a little bit to Dan Marino, because Dan Marino's best year was his second year. Drafted in 83, started a few weeks into his rookie season, was outstanding. In 84, he came back and had what still may be the greatest season a quarterback's ever had, because it took place in 1984. Mm-hmm. And when he set those records, they stood for like 25 years, right? So he threw 48 touchdown passes, 5,000 yards, got the team to the Super Bowl. He was never as good again. He was still great, but it seemed like that year put him on the map. and all of a sudden he was better than Joe Montana, who just beat him in the Super Bowl. Well, that wasn't the case. Montana was better than Dan Marino. I see a similar dynamic, and again, we compare Brady to Montana because it's not always sexy and flashy and all of that stuff. Was Marino had the perfect arm, and Mahomes has that. So I think it's more eye candy than anything else.
Well, and if I remember correctly, I believe, and I'm not, again, I'm the type of person, I don't believe that stats are any way a good indicator of play, because again, no one uses them in a way that can fully encompass everything. Everyone kind of has their favorite stats and sticks to them, and in my opinion is pointless. That's why I always call it the garnish or like the A1 sauce on the steak. You know, you want the steak being the actual performance you see on the field, not a box score or numbers here, numbers there, because they can all be manipulated. But Dan Marino only broke 30 touchdowns one more time in his career after that.
Yeah.
I think he averaged, again, this is just off the top of my head and kind of based on what I've seen, somewhere in the 25 to 28 touchdowns a season. And, to your point, all of a sudden, it's, everyone thinks of Dan Marino, it's 49 touchdowns or 48 touchdowns, sorry. And that's the image. So, Patrick Mahomes, 50 and 5,000, which is great, which, okay, no one's saying that's not a great accomplishment. I think it was a perfect storm of, obviously his talent, his ability, of course, but also just kind of catching the NFL off guard. I mean, we've seen this. Sometimes it takes some time to get some film on these kids. And guess what? It's not a coincidence that he struggled against Bill Belichick coach teams. And by struggle, I mean, the Patriots were able to limit what that offense was doing, because again, it wasn't just him. It was him. It was Hill. It was, for a time, the running back, I'm blanking on the name in Cleveland.
Kareem Hunt.
Thank you. Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins all of a sudden became the first round talent that he was, and so on and so forth. So that team was incredibly talented. They were 11-5.
Alex Smith beat the Patriots twice?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He came into Foxborough and put up 40-plus points in the season opener, and then the famous or infamous Monday night debacle in Kansas City, where everybody thought Brady's career was over and the dynasty was over. Alex Smith was the quarterback of the Chiefs. So, I mean, I know that was 7 years ago.
And it basically started. If you started keeping track of Brady from that point on, he probably has an argument for the greatest career ever for a player that point on. No, exactly.
Yeah, from 14 on, he's Joe Montana just in that period, let alone what he did before that. Yeah, so I mean, and I love Patrick Mahomes. He's one of my favorite players to watch without question. I love his charisma. He seems like he's a good kid. He's a new dad.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's so easy to root for, but let's let these guys, get into the chunk of their career before we anoint them the greatest thing ever. I mean, Michael Jordan didn't become the greatest player ever, well, of course, until LeBron James came along, but that title didn't go to him until the mid-90s. It took a decade and winning three championships and doing all that he did when people said, yeah, he's the greatest player ever. And LeBron got into that discussion, I think, when he won his title in Cleveland. That kind of put him into the discussion. Like, let these guys get to that point. And that's why, obviously, Brady's the greatest quarterback ever. Anyone that wants to refute that is just, I don't know on what standard. But at least the other guys that I put up there, like Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers and John Elway and Joe Montana, they've had long careers look at it. Yeah, I mean, look at Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers had the great year in 11. He had another great year in 14. He had another great year in 16. And he had another great year in 20. I mean, the guy won three MVPs over a 10-year period. That's pretty good. And we know Manning won five of them and Brady won three. And it's not the be-all, end-all to win MVPs, but it kind of gives you an idea that the guy was the best player in the league that given year. So, yeah, I mean, I think the comparison, I want to see what happens with Mahomes, like Marino, is his greatest year going to be his first year as a starter? I mean, Orson Welles is one of the greatest filmmakers in the history of the United States. His debut film, Citizen Kane, was his greatest film. He never topped it again. He was making great films, but never quite as good as Citizen Kane. So sometimes, your first appearance is your greatest.
On a side note, every time I hear Citizen Kane, I just think of that clip from The Simpsons where it's like, this is the Kane from Citizen Kane. And then Lisa was like, wait a minute, there's no Kane in Citizen Kane.
Rosebud.
Yeah, it's a good one. But yeah, look, again, I mean, we're you know, this is what we do. We talk quarterbacks, we talk football, and you know, the whole way we measure quarterbacks in general, it's kind of all ass backwards in my opinion, because, you know, again, I feel like everything in between the ears, as they say, is more important than athleticism. It's more important than fancy hard throwing, because, you know, we all know Jamarcus Russell had a hell of an arm. He could be on his knees and throw it 70 yards no problem. And you know, Michael Vick, I mean, talk about athleticism, no one was more athletic at the quarterback position than Michael Vick.
Right.
No one before him, not Warren Moon. No one after him, no one before, you know what I mean? Michael Vick was the hands down most athletic quarterback, most incredible sight to see. So, but none of that matters. I mean, look, it helps that individual player to some extent. But then I turned around and asked, well, you know, how important is it if you can't overcome apparently a bad game from the offensive line with your athleticism? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the point if that doesn't work to your advantage? Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Like, well, you know, people cite his legs as his great advantage. Well, why didn't he use them? Why doesn't he use them to give him an advantage over? And I'm not, you know, sitting here saying that, you know, again, for, you know, talking about his performance in the NFC Championship game. I'm just pointing out kind of how...
Yes, you are.
Well,
come on.
No,
be
but,
nice.
But my point is, my point is,
no, I know.
Is like people...
He should have run in for the touchdown. I think he would have... I mean... Dev White is now saying he would have caught him, which I think is ludicrous, because Devin White was in the middle of the field with his back to where Aaron Rodgers could have run. I mean, that play has been more scrutinized than the Zapruder film. I mean, and he should have walked in for the touchdown. Even if he didn't get the touchdown, he could have got it to maybe the two, and now you go for it on fourth and two. But, yeah, no, he could do more of that stuff, too. And the thing about quarterbacks, Ian, that I think that is so amazing is they come in all shapes and sizes and all different skill sets.
Oh, sure.
But the thing you need more than anything is again, as you said, what's between the ears and the leadership ability. Yeah. The ability
IQ,
to
leadership
get
and
guys
accuracy.
It's a personality position. Really, when you think about it, it's probably, I don't know, 40-50% a personality position. Now, you still have to have some physical ability, and I always laugh when people say, well, Brady's not a real good athlete. I'm like,
no, he's a great athlete.
Great athlete. The same way Larry Bird was a great athlete. Larry Bird, you know, wasn't going to win the decathlon at the Olympics, but Larry Bird was damn quick for a guy that size. His hand-eye coordination, his footwork was impeccable. I mean, you know, athletic ability isn't just, oh, well, he ran a 4.4 40 and he had a 42-inch vertical.
But that's how
jump.
People view it, though. That's
problem.
That's
how they view it, yeah.
So, like, you know, again, I didn't want to bring your guy down. I was just using it as an example because, you know, it's one of the more relevant, you know, examples. But, you know, we'll focus on the Super Bowl a little bit here.
Jeopardy job is still open, Ian,
yeah.
So I've got that to
gotcha.
Fall back on.
Gotcha. I'll put in a good recommendation.
Thank you. Ian would, Aaron would appreciate that.
anything to drive Packers fans crazy. But But yeah, so, you know, look at the Super Bowl, and one of the things when you ask people, okay, why is Patrick Mahomes better than Tom Brady right now? Well, he can, you know, make any throw, and his mobility, you know, his ability to scramble, all that stuff. Okay, all right. Well, how important is it, you know, if it didn't work to your advantage in a game like this past Super Bowl? Well, why would you want to have a quarterback that runs around? Well, presumably to avoid any sort of rush. And, you know, to avoid, you know, and create opportunities. Well, that didn't happen. I mean, that's an opportunity where you sit there and say, this is why the running quarterback is needed. This is why you need to be super athletic. And the reality of it is you don't. Like, does it help Patrick Mahomes? Sure. Does it help Aaron Rodgers? Sure. I'm not saying it's a negative. I'm just saying it's unnecessary. So when people sit there and cite that as reasons why player A, B, C, or D is better than Tom Brady, I sit there and laugh and say, that is probably, running around and scrambling is probably number 99 on the list of 100 quality traits that a quarterback should have. That's how little and how little importance that it has. Now, can you sit here and point out certain players that it certainly helped? Absolutely. But they're not running every single play. If they were, you know what I mean? Like, look at Steve Young. He was, and I always call Aaron Rodgers this generation Steve Young, and I think it's a compliment because
I think yeah. it's a viable comparison. Absolutely,
yeah. There's a lot of similarities. We don't have to get into them now because that could be a whole discussion. But you know, they're very high passer rating guys. You know, very athletic. You know, if you're going to pick a couple guys to score the most points in a Super Bowl, you maybe say, okay, Steve Young threw 6 touchdowns in his Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers put up 40 something points in his Super Bowl win or whatever.
Yeah, 31 against the number one defense.
Yeah, 31. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, you know, again, it's, you know, very similar comparison, but like the problem is people mistaken running around as being more athletic. So when people say, oh, well, he's more athletic, I'm like, what are we talking about here? What is it going to go run a track and field event? You know,
right.
Is that what we're doing? Yeah. We're doing hurdles, all that stuff? No, we're not. We're playing football. And football, you as a quarterback, you don't need to run. If you needed to run, you could be a running back. You know what I mean? That there's right. a position for that. So, you know, the
important... It's more important to avoid the pass rush, exactly. which Brady is incredible at. And so was Dan Marino. Dan Marino was the same way.
Sure.
Marino couldn't move. He had knee braces and, you know, he was a great athlete in his day. He was drafted in baseball. I mean, mm-hmm. athletic ability, again, isn't, you know, 40 time and vertical leaping. But Marino moved in the pocket spectacularly, as does Brady. Drew Bledsoe was horrible at that. Like, he looked like a statue back there. Yeah. He couldn't move. Yeah, I mean, look at Brady's quarterback sneaking ability, which is the best we've ever seen. I mean, there's a little thing like that. He's the best I've ever seen. I mean, the Packers generally do not sneak Rodgers, and the Chiefs are not going to sneak Mahomes anymore because he got hurt on that. So do we hold that against them, that they're not as good at sneaking as Tom Brady, who seems to always move the chains with –
Normally you wouldn't, but since Rodgers and Mahomes fans have just barged into this conversation uninvited, no offense, John. I know I'm not including you among the group I'm speaking of.
I'm a realist.
Well, but you know, the point is like, you know, we sit here and go back and forth, and then, you know, as some of these conversations, not us, I'm saying just conversations in general, wind up, well, you know, Mahomes is young, why are you picking on him, or why are you nitpicking Aaron Rodgers? Because again, you felt the need to thrust these guys into the greatest of all time debate right now. And again, when that happens, this is where we get to. We start talking about little things like that. Well, yeah, that is a big difference. I mean, it's not just one or two here. I mean, this quarterback sneaking thing is one of his greatest traits. And again, a lot of that comes and originates from his mind. So, you know, Brady avoids the rush, and he still does better than anyone before the ball snapped. He can diagnose defenses, and then people will sit there and say, oh, he's just dumping it off. Well, no. He won that play before the ball was even snapped. And exactly. that is far more valuable. I mean, I can't even quantify how much more valuable that is than throwing hard and running around. Because
what's better, a 4-yard gain or a 6-yard loss? That's a 10-yard difference. Yeah. I'll take the 4-yard gain. It's not sexy, but it gets you ahead of the chains.
It is sexy. That's the problem.
Sexy, yeah.
It is sexy.
Well,
because it's positive plays, get me going, man.
Oh, they sure do. Nothing like it. A 4-yard gain. You're like Woody Hayes. You're the Woody Hayes of your generation.
You know, three yards,
cloud of dust.
That Vince McMahon meme where it's like, you know, it's just his reaction over like 3 or 4 frames. You know, that's me.
Yeah.
You know, 4-yard gain, a 6-yard gain, and then a 15-yard burner, and then a touchdown. I'm falling backwards. It's just everything's great.
What do you think of his son, Matt Jones, who is actually young enough to be Tom Brady's son?
He's
22, and Brady. I just call him Matt Jones. I'm falling into a trap. You know why I do that, Ian? Because you follow Upton. Because I follow Upton, my man Upton. We both call him Matt. Upton and I got to work on a podcast. It would be really the old guys, but his mind is so sharp. But Matt Jones, I'll get it right. Yeah. I keep wanting to call him Mac Davis, who was in North Dallas 40, I think. Yeah. I think he was an actor in the 70s. I keep wanting to call him Mac Davis. Okay, so Mac Jones, Tom Brady's son, who he's young enough to be his son, which I think
could
is
be.
Pretty fascinating. Yeah, I mean, who knows? Where was Tom in Florida back in 1999 or whatever? Who knows? but I think I just wanted to get your pick because you're the Patriots guy more than I am. I mean, I kind of follow the whole league, and I'm a Packers, but I – we'll criticize the Packers, but what are your hopes for him?
Well, you know, and I said this a little bit when we started, that I felt that we were moving in the direction that Cam Newton was going to be the starter. I thought the treatment that he was getting during the preseason, playing a little bit here and there, and, you know, then obviously giving Mac Jones, that's kind of what the Brady treatment was over the course of the few years. But in hindsight, if Mac Jones, but I got part of it right, because I do believe, you know, last week when we talked about this, or at least I've talked about this with Pete, you know, if Mac Jones is the starter, he's not giving it up. That it's not going to go back to, you know, Bill Belichick's not a guy who's going to, you know, change his mind after maybe if he has a poor start or two. You know, they're not going to get into that situation like some other teams do, where they just go back and forth between quarterbacks. No, Mac took the job, it was going to be his. And quite frankly, I think his play just forced Belichick's hand. This isn't, people are trying to make a big deal about the vaccination status of Cam Newton. They knew his views. They knew what he went through prior to signing him. That's not, you know, if it was an issue then, they wouldn't have signed him. There's no reason to do that. I don't even want to say outplayed Cam. Like, because I don't think Cam played poorly, and I think there was certainly opportunity for him to do better. But Belichick had to go to Mac. And it just, at the end of the day, that was the decision that had to be made. And, you know, when he told Cam, I'm sure, you know, Cam had an opportunity to, you know, again, get released and hopefully find an opportunity elsewhere. But at the end of the day, I don't think this was any sort of vindictive thing. I think Belichick really liked Cam. I think a lot of the fans do. And again, this idea that there's this anti-Cam bias, I think is very, first off, very limited in reality, but just it, unfortunately became a big storyline over the last couple weeks. But the thing is, he was well liked. You know, I thought he was playing better. I certainly had higher hopes given, you know, the circumstances of this year versus last year. But at the end of the day, you go to Mac Jones and that's it. That's the guy that you're going to go with.
I'm totally in favor. I mean, I was hoping that they had moved up and drafted Justin Fields. I think he's going to be a star in the league, but I think Mac Jones is going to be a star in the league as well. Again, he checks all the boxes that you want in the quarterback, right? I mean, pre-snap, his ball's very catchable and accurate, and his arm strength will get stronger with more work. Brady's did, right? I mean, Brady's arm now may be stronger now than it's ever been. But
I'll say this, it was always strong. Early on in his career, it was always strong. There's this
always strong
idea, this narrative out there that he just doesn't have a strong arm, which...
Same thing with Montana. Montana had a strong arm. I mean, Montana won a playoff game in, like, you know, sub-zero temperature in Chicago, 28-3 in the NFC Championship game. 28-3. There you go. See? Joe built the lead, and Tom was good at coming back from the lead.
That's the game where the Dante Hightower sack got the Patriots 31 points. I remember that, according to some.
Don't knock my favorite Patriots player.
I'm not knocking the dopes out there that will sit there and say, oh, no.
I know, yeah.
That wasn't a great comeback because Dante Hightower made a play on defense.
A lot of football teams come back from 25 points down with 18 minutes left in regulation time. That's happened a lot in the NFL. Yeah. Especially in the Super Bowl, it happens a lot. Like, no, I mean, it helped. I mean, you needed your defense to make plays.
Oh, sure.
But
you can say that about every single game that's ever won in the NFL history.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know of any other quarterback. 28-3, that's probably out of the reach of anyone else.
Yeah.
Well, with the possible exception of maybe Montana, because I've seen him do that.
Well, not
necessarily in the playoffs, but I've seen him do it in the regular season games, which would lead me to believe he could do it. I mean, he did it if you want to start bringing up college careers, he did it at Notre Dame, and then Brady did it at Michigan. I mean, but like, how are these guys, go back to the draft of 2000, like, how did he last that long? I mean, I know he, like, looked foolish in his, you know, in his underwear.
Because there's no way.
The numbers were outstanding. I mean, and he just kept coming back. I mean, it was like, he was playing at Michigan, Ian. It wasn't like he was playing at Central Michigan.
Well, this is why I tell people all the time, because, you know, we get this other narrative out there. It's like, Bill Belichick made Tom Brady. It's like, no, he didn't. Like, they were great for each other, and I think that's the best way to look at it. That doesn't disqualify either from being the greatest at their position.
Right.
Just because they had each other. I mean, I said this last time we're on there. Every great coach has had a great quarterback. So, you know what I mean? The quarterback, in my opinion, is the most important position and the most impactful. But, you know,
except
Tom Brady
Joe
was...
Gibbs.
Yeah. Yeah, except for Joe. And that's the exception. And that's the exception.
And he had good quarterbacks, not great quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly. He just happened to do it with three different ones.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go back to Brady, and it's like, he was doing this stuff at Michigan. He was winning 75%+ of his games at Michigan. He was coming back from two separate 14-point deficits in the same game in the Orange Bowl, just like that Baltimore. I mean, that game, his final college game, that Orange Bowl game where he brought the team back twice, down 14, was so – it mirrored that Baltimore game leading into that Super Bowl again. Not obviously the game right before the Super Bowl, but the game before the Super Bowl against the Seahawks. And
the 14 divisional round.
Yeah, and it just it mirrored that. And it's like people are sitting there saying, oh, you know, Belichick, you know, made Brady. Brady wouldn't be who he is without Belichick. I'm like, no. Does he win seven Super Bowls? Again, we're getting into this ridiculous hypothetical discussion that I hate going down.
Yeah.
I can't say because I don't know. I don't know the future. I don't know alternate realities. I really don't. But the reality that I do know is that Brady was Brady before he was with the Patriots. He just happened to mature and get better. Like he said before, he was a late bloomer. And actually, it kind of reminds me, or kind of, you know, I know we didn't spend as much time as we wanted on the whole Cam and Mac thing, but the comments made by Asante Samuel the other day, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he basically said Belichick's just a guy without Tom Brady. Now, as crazy as that sounds, if it was worded a little bit differently, I guarantee you Bill Belichick would agree with him. And I'll tell you why, because he's essentially almost said this, you know, not explicitly like that, but in a way, he's said this all the time. Players play and coaches coach. The players are the most important part of this game. And I've said it before, like if I had to pick a great quarterback or a great coach, I'm taking the great quarterback because at the end of the day, they're the ones playing on the field. And you know, as impactful, and I think coaches in football are more impactful than any other sport, just in what they have to do and what they have to accomplish. But at the end of the day, nothing is more important to the game of football than the quarterback. So is Bill Belichick just a guy without Tom Brady? Well, I don't believe so. Like I said, I still think he's the greatest coach of all time, so I'm not saying he's not. But there is a little bit of truth that, well, Tom Brady's not here. And in prior seasons, Belichick has had talented quarterbacks, and, you know, the winning just hasn't translated. And that's not a knock on Belichick. No, it's hard to win in this league.
He's just a sub-500 coach without Brady, and he wins roughly 75% of his games with Brady, so there's some sort of X factor in there, and his name is Tom Brady. And I also, the more I watch of this, is we you know, talk about the culture that's been built in Foxborough, and, you know, it was Belichick who was able to execute that. And the more I look at this, it seems like it's as much, if not more, Brady, because he's gone to Tampa and brought that culture with him. Now, he may have learned that from Belichick.
Well,
like
I think that's a product of being like a 20 mentor. Years apart. You know, I mean, 20 years together. You know,
yeah, they may not have liked each other at the end. Maybe they are agnostic with each other. Maybe they love each other. I don't know. But I think they learned from each other. And from everything you hear about Tampa Bay is that Brady's running the show down there, and that, you know, in practice, if something's not done right, he flips out and the team stands at attention and then gets it right. Right. That's what a great quarterback could do. And I don't know many others that could do that. I think Peyton Manning kind of had that kind of cachet when he was with the Indianapolis and then Denver. Like, you know, he could kind of set the tone for what the organization was going to be. But I think that much like Tim Duncan, who, you know, had a great run with Greg Popovich, and now without Duncan, Popovich is, you know, makes the playoffs but gets bounced in the first round or doesn't make the playoffs. When you have that great player that allows you to coach them, then it really works for the rest of the team. And Duncan obviously is a great player, but Brady's even greater and even a greater leader because he's more verbal than Tim Duncan was.
Yeah, and look, I mean, again, this isn't meant to be a knock on Bill Belichick. I don't think this changes his legacy at all. That's not the point that I'm trying to make here. I'm just, you know, the foundation of my beliefs are always that the players are more important than the coaches in football.
Of course.
And now, that's
what happens.
Go ahead.
what happens if he goes 8-9 this year, right? Like, he drafted a quarterback in the first round, and they spent all this money on free agents, and they look like they're going to have an excellent defense, a strong offensive line.
It all depends.
If they go 8-9, well, yeah, I mean, if Mac, I'm just going to refer to him by his first name from now on, Mac. If Mac develops as a quarterback, then that to me is, you know, the start of something good, right? So now you're building with a quarterback. But I think their roster is really good.
I mean, they've
got players there. I mean, I'd like to see, you know, Gilmore back. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll come back for the second half of the year, which it almost feels like he's getting $7 million. He's going to play 7 games. It's like, I'm going to get $1 million a game. I'll give you the last 7 games.
Hey, that works if it gets into Super Bowl.
Yeah, because, I mean, other than the Tampa game early, they're not exactly facing great passing attacks. So, yeah, maybe you cobbled those wins together against the Jets and the Dolphins and the Saints or whatever, although the Saints could be one of these teams that come in and put up 30 because Jameis Winston's, you know, talented, although unpredictable. But, yeah, so if you can get them to the second half of the year, that much better. I love the offensive line, love the running back, the tight ends, the wide receivers, whatever. But I like the kid. I really do. I think he's someone that has been at camp a lot this year said that he almost carries himself like a mini Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. He is that, like, involved with stuff. Like, you know, you hear the story of the offensive line, you know, was scuffling with the Giants defensive linemen, and the coaches sent the offensive line to run laps, and Mac decided to join them. Mm-hmm. That's a great sign, and how he goes into the defensive meetings and wants to find out what they're doing. Like, this is someone who obviously feels like a guy that eats, sleeps, drinks football, right?
Which is a Bill Belichick guy.
He must be jumping up and down. I mean, your four-yard gain that gets you excited is the same thing with Mac Jones getting Bill Belichick excited, because Belichick talks about that. Is football the most important? I mean, obviously family and all this other stuff, but is football, like, way up there on the importance in your life? And if you answer yes to that, you know, like, Belichick wants you. Like, I don't think Belichick would ever want to coach Ben Simmons.
No.
Like, I get the feeling when I watch Ben Simmons, like, basketball is like, okay, I make $25, $35 million a year. I'm really good at it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't really mean much to me. Exactly. Yeah. No, Belichick gives rough. Yeah, exactly. A guy who's good, but it's not priority one in his life. Whereas it appears to be that Mac's, like, a football, a gym rat.
Yeah.
Call it that.
And look, I mean, if they hit it with a kid who's worthy of his draft position, then they're going to have a nice run here. Does it mean they're going to win six Super Bowls again? No. Let's just put it this way. No quarterback is going to do – I can say that fairly confidently, that no quarterback and team is going to go on that type of run ever again.
No.
And for those who believe it's just a – going to happen now because someone did it. No, you're never going to see that. So success needs to be redefined for the Patriots. What's successful? Well, you know, making the playoffs, going to the Super Bowl, and hey, maybe they win it one or two with Mac Jones. But
that's a great accomplishment.
If that's what you got out of Mac Jones's career was a Super Bowl win, that's great. Then you have a pretty good draft right there. So
Ian, my team. And it's more Aaron Rodgers than my team, but they've had a 30-year run of two all-time great quarterbacks, right? In Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. They've been to 3 Super Bowls and won 2.
Yep.
To me, that's a disappointment, right? They should have won more, both with Favre and with Rodgers. But at least they won 2. That's better than not winning any.
If Patriots fans think that's a disappointment, then you're going to be disappointed the rest of your fandom, because again,
that's
you're
what
not,
every other fandom had. Yeah, I mean, other than the 49ers during their run, or the Steelers, and look, Bill Russell won 11 championships in 13 years. The Celtics then went on and won, I believe, 5 championships over the next 17 years. Yeah. That wasn't the same as Russell, but 5 in 17 years, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, you take that, right? You know, 2 with Havlicek, Collins, and JoJo White, and then 3 with Bird and those boys. So, yeah, that's a, you know, pretty good follow-up. Now, they've won 1 in the last 35 years. That's a problem.
that's a problem for another day, because we are actually out of time. Yep. So we will leave that for that discussion for another time. But thank you, John, once again for joining me here. We will be back tomorrow to wrap up the week and kind of, you know, take that last big breath before the NFL season starts. So give us a follow on Twitter, at FPC Radio Live. I am at IGLEN31. And John, you can find him at JohnSap25. Have a great day, folks, and we will talk to you then.